Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, we're going to be dealing with a serious topic, and we have two people here who are going to talk about this serious topic. One of them is my co-host, Barbara Moore, who is, and also our guest is Christy Tom, and they are both Playboy Playmate sisters. They are both, and I think what it is that what's important is that I think Barbara, it was Barbara, if I'm not mistaken, who saw Christy talking about being abused, and maybe I'm wrong with the story, I don't know, but what's important, Christy, is that the show be used to give people a platform to speak about things that are important to them and, you know, that mean a lot to them. And we've had Barbara's friends, you know, you've had on for the series, come back and talk about, you know, various subjects. We had Tylene come back and talk about dogs and everything. And I guess what I'm trying to say, Christy, is and Barbara in this kind of thing is.
And
this
we're
is
here,
a very
by the way.
Topic.
Hi, Christy.
Hi.
I don't want to interrupt Johnny. I'll let him go on. But hi, Christy.
Yeah.
Yes, we're here. We're here. And I guess
okay.
we are
am
here.
I
but,
a guest too today?
I'm a guest.
I guess yeah.
Am
I guess you're both guests.
Am
guests.
I supposed to be
I
telling
guess you're,
my
you're
story
co-host
too?
And guests, I believe. Because
okay.
Me and Barbara, we both wanted to do this, is to have you, you know, back on, Christy, because, you know, and Barbara, I think I wanted Barbara. What's important is that everybody have a chance to talk about things that mean a lot to them, is what I'm going to say. And I think that
okay.
I hope that this 90 minutes or 60 minutes or however you want to be will give you a chance to do that. How about...
Okay.
Well, hold on, Johnny. May I interject and say something,
right
too,
ahead.
Before
right
we
ahead.
Actually,
right
you know,
right
bring
ahead.
Christy on here? Okay. Well, how I do know this is because she mentioned it on her first interview with us when she was telling her story about how she became a Playboy Playmate. Remember? I mean, Hugh Hefner
yes.
had to send her. Yes. And so let's just say hi to Christy Tom right now. Hi, Christy. Hi, Christy.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Yes. And this is what we do. Johnny was describing, we normally have a playmate on and they tell us that, and that's all fun and we laugh and everything, and then we bring the Playboy Playmate back and get deeper, and that is today with you. And how I know also that you were ready to talk about abuse was because you posted it on social media, and I thought, you know what, she's ready to, you know, just let it out. And we need to, but it also is hard and it also hurts because when we talk about it, we're kind of reliving it. But I just thank Johnny so much for this show and making it a place where somebody feels safe to talk about anything. And thank you, Johnny. So thank you for the wonderful introduction as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And,
thank
yeah.
you, Johnny.
Now,
yeah,
who
you know,
wants to go first?
Well,
oh,
okay.
Well,
thought you were continuing, Johnny. Didn't you want to say a few more things about the
well,
show?
Well, what I was going to say is, yeah, what I was going to say is that I hope that you, this is what I'm going to say, and then, you know, you two can start, you know, I don't want you, either one of you, to feel scared or that you are going to be judged, okay? I know that a lot of times people come on here and they think, well, he's not going to want to talk about that, you know. And I've always made it a point to tell Barbara, you know, you bring your friends on, we will not judge your friends, we will not judge them. They are here to be open and to have people listen to them when, you know, a lot of people maybe haven't. So that's what's important, you know, that the both of you have. I don't know who's going to start, but I'll let the two of you make
that
decision.
It's not about that, Johnny. It's not about who's going first. It's about we're just going to start talking, and that's what this I feel I love
okay.
about the show.
That's
it's a conversation.
That's fine.
So, yeah,
that's fine.
I'll
that's
start
fine.
With
okay.
a question.
That's fine.
How about
that's perfectly
that?
Fine. You go ahead and start, okay?
Okay, well.
You go ahead and start.
Okay, I assumed, Christy, that when you posted, you didn't go into detail about abuse. So I'm going to let you open up the subject about, because, hey, I feel like I'm abused almost every single day out there in the world, you know, the way people treat us, right?
Seriously.
Well, I hope I'm not the one that are abusing you, Barbara.
No, of course not.
Good.
No.
Okay.
You know,
I don't want to.
That is so funny that you saw that post. Usually I rant about my card business, you know, and it's all fun and games, and I tout my cards and peddle and whatever. And that's
right.
My friend posted that his son committed suicide the day before, and it just affected me so deeply. And I just started on this rampage about, because I lost my best friend to suicide, who was also a victim of child molestation when we were kids, from the same person.
Oh, wow.
So, and it just made me so mad. And then I just started thinking about, you know, how dare these people? They mess with us. We're young. I mean, for me, my situation was I was 11. It was a family friend. You know, it was a father figure.
Yeah.
And, and my best friend and I were just, you know, we were young. We just didn't know what was going on. You know, it was shocking and surprising. And there were so many,
didn't you feel like, I don't know what that was or what is going on, but it's not right.
Yeah.
It's just gross and it's not right. But you don't really know.
Absolutely. No, you don't. And plus, like, you love this person. I mean, this was a person, like, legitimately, like, I loved, like he was going to give me away at my wedding someday. He was my daddy figure, you know. So I loved this person. So when it first happened, it was just, oh, plus, I had come from a very, very religious school. I went up until the sixth grade. I was, like, in a very religious school where they kind of really taught you, like, fire and brimstone. You're going to go to hell for, like, every little thing. And so I kind of had this in my mind. So this started happening. And, like, I was trying to deal with.
Was this a private school just for girls, like a Catholic school?
It wasn't a Catholic school. It was a Baptist school, which might even be worse.
Okay.
Really?
Oh, yes. You cannot have secular music, no posters on the wall,
yes.
No calendars.
No movies, nothing.
Nothing.
No Love Boat, no Charlie's Angels. Everything's a sin.
Of course
no
not.
Free company.
Yep.
Mm-mm.
No pants.
What?
No pants.
No makeup.
Yes.
I can't wear makeup either.
Totally.
Wow. And look
totally
at what we became. That really helped us, didn't it? We became the most glamorous, like, pin-up models of all time. Oh,
yeah,
they didn't stop
funny.
Us. See, and that's the thing. They will try to stop you and tell you everything's a sin. And it's not. It's enjoyable. It's music. It's people. And so, and then
well, that's
you have
true.
That on top of you. Where this is a friend, so he knows, and they know, okay, she's never going to tell, and you don't know how to tell. Was that the case? And here you guys are going through it together. Wow.
No, absolutely. Well, before it happened to her, she was the only person that knew. I kept it a secret for 2 years. And I told my mom at the time that I had this really big problem, but that I couldn't tell her about it. And so, you know, she racked her brain trying to figure out what was wrong with me. All of a sudden, my grades dropped, and I became, like, antisocial and weird. And, you know, so she probably just figured I was, you know, like a preteen.
Going through,
like, a weird phase. I was always kind of a weird kid anyways. But Rachel always told me. And then, like, in my head, this was like my first, any sort of, like, I dare say romance. I don't mean it in this way. I just don't know another word for it. But
right.
This is my first, like, romantic involvement ever. So I didn't know, like, it was so confusing, you know, and it became this weird thing where, like, I really thought he was doing it because he loved me and, you know, I had this almost this like fantasy in my head after a while, after I got over like the shock and the like, holy shit, what are you doing? And like that kind of thing. And
wait,
realized
hold on,
like I couldn't tell anybody. Yeah, yeah.
I have a question though. Did you know that he was doing the same thing to your best friend at the same time, or were you both being really quiet about it and not knowing it was happening to both of you guys by the same person at the same time?
Well, the reason it happened to her was because she is the only one that knew about it, and she tried to tell me that he didn't love me, that this was a sick thing, that he was a disturbed person, and she kind of put herself in harm's way. And one night he like violently raped her.
Was she the same age as you? 11?
Yeah. By that time she was probably 12. We were probably 12 by the time she happened to her. But yeah.
That's so sad. That is so horrible. Okay, and this person, now it's coming back to me, your whole post. This person is still alive, not your friend.
Oh, yeah.
So committed suicide. Oh, probably right. A big part of it was because of this. And he's alive.
Absolutely.
And if anything ever happened to him, I'll let you finish the story, of course, but I just am curious. He's out. He could be listening right now, right?
Yeah, that would be great if he is, you know, I hope you what happens to my friend happens to you. But anyways, what was your question? I totally forgot.
Well, I just wanted to know if anything happened to him.
Oh,
did
that's
he get arrested or because
he did get
arrested.
He did get arrested, but
good.
However, the laws back then were such that the police came and talked to me. I told them exactly what had happened, but I wouldn't testify against him. So nothing happened.
Yeah,
nothing
I
ended
understand.
Up happening to him, which is crazy because like by that time I was 14 and like, you know, I mean, my head was so screwed up by then. And yeah.
Oh, but
so
it could have been so much worse
perfect.
For you by 14. By 14, now you have a group of friends maybe. You don't want anybody to know. See, they're embarrassed. Victims have a huge issue with embarrassment. They don't want anybody to know. They don't want
of course
with
not.
That. Yeah, so I completely understand. By 14, you're even more afraid to get up there and testify. It's public. It's not right. Or maybe if it's if you're under 18, maybe it's not a public thing, but still there's people in the courtroom.
Well,
you're so embarrassed.
It was a matter of at that point it had been going on for 2 years. So I, at that point didn't like at that time, I didn't feel like I was a victim. I felt like almost like I didn't tell anybody. So it's like almost my fault. So I kind of deserved it kind of thing. You know, that's
that
what kind
too.
Of like, yeah, like that's how,
or
that's
they're not
how I kind of felt.
Or they're going to think I wanted to
well,
do it, or they're going to think that I was into it and they won't believe me. All those things
yes,
in your head.
Totally. Well, you know what's crazy is my mom sent me to see a psychiatrist at Children's Hospital here in Los Angeles. And I was 12 years old, and the psychiatrist told me, don't worry about it, you know, like we have a obligation to keep your secrets, da 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 da. And I told him everything that was going on. I told him what was happening. I told him the situation. I told him about, you know, the man. And his response to me was that he could understand how an older man could be attracted to me. And this is the craziest thing. He gave me pap smears every time I went in there. So here was a person that could have stopped it and that had the obligation and the job and the responsibility to stop it, didn't stop it, number one, went to the other extent and, like, put his – I mean, it's, like, so crazy when I think about it. Now that I'm in
he
school,
was an
I just got
too.
Out of – Yes.
If you have his name,
but
we could say right now, that was an abusive doctor right there.
Dr. McKenzie. Yep.
Okay.
I mean, how weird is that, though? It's so bizarre.
Now
I
have a question. Do you have any bad
he probably was
ever
getting off on it, too, weirdo.
Do either of you have any bad dreams? Do either
one
of you ever have any bad dreams?
He wants to know if you have bad dreams.
You know what? I have talked to, I mean, I've been in so much therapy, and I have told this story, not certainly not to the world, but like I've talked about this so much that it's almost become somebody else's story. Like I'm very relieved from it at this point. So it's not like somewhere deep in my soul picking at me. You know, it's already picked at me. I already went through everything because of it. I mean, it's taken a long time to get to like this point where I'm not, you know, screwed up beyond belief because I was for a really
maybe
long
40
time.
Years. Maybe 40 years. And, you know, it's a lifetime. And they don't know. Well, who knows? They don't think. They don't care. All they care about is getting their self satisfied and their weird. You know, they don't think this is going to affect this person's life forever.
Exactly. No, I know. That's what pissed me off so much. My best friend is literally dead. Like, she is gone. She, like, picked up a shotgun and blew her brains out because she never got therapy because she didn't know how to deal with it because person after person, like, messed with us for some reason. I don't know why. You know, like, I'm sure you went through the same thing because I'm sure you looked much older for your age, too. You know, so everyone thought you were older, so no one ever, like, it's just like
I went through a lot of this. I went through a lot of the same stuff that you're talking about, but I looked like I was always 2 to 3 years younger. I was so tiny. I didn't even think I would ever grow. So everybody thought I was. Yes, but that didn't have to do with it. When you get to older, like on your own, 18, 19, 20, I remember so many times of men abusing me. One time for a $30,000 or $40,000 contract wanted me to perform oral sex on him for that. Okay.
Yeah.
And
just
that was horrible when you're young and you're driving 10 hours from a state to another state and you get there and you're alone in a conference room. That guy could have raped me. Nobody knew who he was, where I was. Oh my gosh. And so, but then that was horrible.
Of
here,
course.
You know, that was before Playboy. So, yes, I mean, when I was 17, 18, yes, so then I looked like a woman. But when I was younger, I'm not going to get into my thing right now, Johnny, okay? I want to continue with her story. And the first point I want to make is good for you, Christy, that you've done the work. You went to the counseling, and not only that, but now you're studying to be a counselor. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Awesome.
I think
good for
it's
you.
Time to, like, pay it forward. And it really is the only thing that makes sense. Like, once I became sober, once I made it out of that drug-filled craziness that I was, you know, just on a really bad road. This was only up until like a year and a half ago. It's taken me like up until my late 40s to become like a normal functioning, like, you know, person in the world.
Well, you're trying to put a Band-Aid on everything with the alcohol and the drugs that made you not have to feel it. And that is what people do. And so I can't even believe it. Here we call you for the Playboy Playmate. How'd you become a Playboy Playmate? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't even really talked to you for, I don't know, 20 years, maybe. That's sad. But
it's been a while.
Oh, and then, but see, everything is happening for a reason. Maybe you did not want to think about it, that with us when you were using. Maybe it was just like the perfect timing. You come on the show, you were able to express that part, which good for you on that one too, right, Johnny? I mean, wow, you overcame that. How long has it been since you've been
sober? I know, that's
great. Yeah.
It's been 17 months now.
Wow.
Or, 18 months, I'm sorry. Yeah, 18 months.
That's great. And then how are you feeling with that? Just good or is it hard? Or do you have to go to counseling every week for that, like the AA?
You know, I still have a sponsor and I still check in all the time and I still go to meetings and I probably always will because AA is awesome.
And I literally feel bad for people, for normies that don't have a program like this, because it's just, it's a whole network of people that just support you anywhere and everywhere you go. It's awesome. So anyway,
worldwide?
Oh yeah, definitely.
It is.
And it's
so everybody has a chance to go, and it's free. Oh,
it is free, and it's an amazing support system for sure. Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to back when you were growing up and you were in this household, Baptist, which I didn't know that you grew up that way too. But I had an outlet. I had every other weekend to get out with my real dad. And then I saw, okay, this is normal life. This is happy life. This is wonderful life. And he's good to us. And we're good kids. Back at home, we've got an abusive stepfather. But I was able to see the difference and know that someday I'm going to be free. Someday I will get out of here because I will be, move and free.
Yeah.
But your friend who committed suicide, she felt there was probably no way out. And also, when she got out, she still kept feeling that because that's all she knew. Maybe she never did see or experience a loving environment. I mean, you had your mom. You couldn't really talk to her. That was normal for back then. But she was taking care of you after she found out. I mean, there was a whole courtroom deal. There was, taking you to the psychologist. But it seemed
my mom really tried, but after when I was 14, I met this 41-year-old man who actually went to high school with the first guy.
So I met
this 41-year-old man. And at that point, I thought, I am so mature. I can handle anything because I've been dealing with the first one, for 3 years now. So that's actually how my mom found out this other guy and thought I was in love because, I was 14. That's what you think when you're 14. With your love back then is the biggest thing ever. I ran away with him to begin with. And then I came back home and I told my mom, look, I'm totally mature enough to handle this relationship. It's a little weird, but I totally am mature enough because this has been going on with so-and-so this whole time. So that's when she found out about it. And that's when she called the police and put me in a mental hospital. And
regret telling her then?
God, my whole life rapidly changed. I mean, literally, she said, she was her and this therapist. I had never been to therapy other than the psychiatrist who gave me pap smears every week. I had never been to therapy up until this point. So my mom told me, look, if you just go to therapy once and talk to this therapist, I'll let you continue to see Jim, where Jim was the 41-year-old. So I said, okay, that sounds like a good deal. And I had already quit school by this time. I mean, I was already a hellion, by the time I was 14. So
I remember you said in your first interview, sorry to interrupt, that you said you were really hard to deal with and you feel bad now for your mom and what you put her through.
I definitely do. Because, it was always just me and her, and she tried so hard and she was such a hardworking single mother. And then for this to come in and happen underneath her nose, and her not know about it. And then I get so screwed up. I mean, I was hooked on cocaine when I was 11 years old, also from the first guy.
FI?
That was also something he did.
Away from that? Because if you're going to tell on him, you're not going to be able to have this drug that your body actually is addicted to. So you're all confused, majorly.
It was just a disaster. It was just a mess. So I went and saw, I told my mom, okay, I'll go see this therapist. So she sent me to see this therapist, and the therapist told me, I think you are so smart. You should come and get your IQ test taken. And I'm just thinking, at the time I'm 14, I'm thinking, oh my God, finally somebody who understands me. She thinks I'm so smart. So I go
to my IQ test taken. Were they trying to manipulate you?
Were they was this that guy who was doing the pap smears?
No. This was like a legitimate child psychologist. So the next day, okay, I go and I meet her to have my IQ test, in quotations, taken, and they literally slam the doors behind me, and like two men in white coats come and like grab me, kicking and screaming, and I am stuck in a mental hospital for 6 months.
Christy, no way. That is so wrong. This would not be happening today, would it?
You know what? It was literally the only way, like short of like literally like having this man killed, which, you know, people can't do. How was my mom to get me away from him? She had tried calling the police. Like, what was she going to do? I feel like that was like her death. I mean, nobody wants to throw their kid in a mental institution, you know? But
did she know about
that was crazy.
Because you could really have an adverse reaction if you don't, if you go cold turkey. Did she know about the drugs that the guy was giving you as well?
I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, I think she did at one point, because at one point I don't remember back then. I'm not sure what I told
Tell
her.
Tell us what it was like though when you were in that mental. I mean, what did they do to you? Tell us.
It was interesting. That's for sure. You know, I was in there with like a, they threw me on the girls ward. So I was in there with a lot of other girls that were not in my situation, but in other precarious, you know, situations, having, you know, mental breaks, whatever. And, it wasn't really that bad. I mean, I played a lot of Scrabble in there.
Okay, good. I'm glad
it wasn't
more horrible with everybody having breakdowns around you, you know. At least it was a safe place, finally, right?
It was a safe place. And plus, like, I was literally force-fed therapy, like, morning, noon, and night. I mean, literally, I had, like, a therapy in the morning, therapy in the afternoon, a AA meeting in the evening. So it was, I was literally... I mean, I think that probably saved my life, and I think that that was actually the difference between me and my friend Rachel, you know, is that I did get that time to, like, process what had happened and what was going on, and, you know, I still didn't even know that, like, really anything sort of was wrong at that point. I didn't kind of figure out until, like, I got into my 20s that, like, something was really wrong with my childhood.
Wow. See, because you didn't have the every other weekend going to a normal loving environment. And I often wonder about these people who grow up in a horrible, like almost like a Hitler type of environment. That's what I grew up in for 8 years, from 8 to 15, when I ran away, actually. Oh my goodness. If I wouldn't have had my dad to see what real people are like, just loving, nice people. I mean, you had your mom, but just very, very, very good. Good person.
Yeah.
I mean, there was discipline, but very good. You didn't have that. Your friend didn't have that. And I often wonder, okay, well, now we know. You didn't know for quite a while that something was wrong with your childhood. What about going over to friends' houses, though, when you grew up, like other friends' houses with two parents that were normal? Did you have that?
No, I didn't. I was always one of those people who, like, had one friend. You know, I was never, like, a pop guy. I always had, like, my one best friend, and that was Rachel.
Right.
And, you know, she was... Yeah, pretty much the whole way through. We met in, like, the first day of the seventh grade. And, yeah, we were best friends ever since. And our lives went completely
parallel. Yeah, I have that, too.
Parallel.
Yeah? I have that, too. So much.
Do you still have her?
I still, every day, probably for sure, a few times a week, we text. And, she wants me to move to New York, where she just moved. I mean, this is a friend that I met her the very first day of fifth grade. So we do have so much parallel. It's crazy. But I did.
Yeah,
I was like you, the one friend, but I had more like three throughout, you know, three to four good friends
different grades closer to one, but Jennifer was the one that stayed stuck with me all the way to the end. Until now, we're so close. So
that's
for
awesome.
Me to hear that you don't have this friend, I want to ask about this friend, Rachel. How long did you have her, and were you still in really good contact with her up until the point that she committed suicide?
Oh, yeah. We were, like, inseparable. She, when she, we both, like, left school and took the proficiency exam and, like, both got out of school. And then she started modeling when she was, like, 16. She was, like, 6 feet tall and amazingly gorgeous and, like, on the cover of Vogue. And, like, she was this, like, a real model. I always considered her.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. She was, I mean, she was just so beautiful and smart and, just, she was, like, amazing. She was, like, legendary. She rode her Harley across country by herself. She got in bar fights with men. I mean, she was this gnarly girl. She was the coolest chick ever. And the bravest girl ever. I mean, she was, like, she always stood up for me, and she always protected me, and she was just, she was really special. But, yeah, we were all the way up until she died, yeah.
Did you know she was going to do it? Were you concerned? Were you living near her?
You know what? I was concerned. I was in Bel Air. I was living in Bel Air. She was in the Hollywood Hills. And I was concerned about her because just things, just she, you know, started going through like periods of depression. And I never thought this was going to happen. You never think this is going to happen. You know, it just, it's not really in like your, like, vernacular, really. Like, you don't think, like, I don't know, you just don't think that this is going to happen. But
right.
But yeah,
no,
it,
you don't.
It was no, and yeah, and it was so devastating. It was so devastating when it did happen. It was it was just like literally the worst thing that ever happened. It was like literally the worst thing that could possibly happen. You know, for somebody to actually, take their life like that. I remember, like, that day, like, going to her house and, like, cleaning up her blood off the, you know, bathroom wall. And it was just so surreal. And all of it just was, like, in slow motion. And trying to figure out what
really
to do and who to call. And it was crazy.
Christy.
Yeah, it was a crazy time.
Oh, but. You know, it's so kind of strange how you could know a person for so many years and you just don't know what they've really gone through. And to find out, because I've known you for so many years, that this all happened to you, it's just, I mean, does your mom say, thank God for Hugh Hefner? Because he also got you away from that guy.
He actually totally got me away from that guy, the second guy,
He really did. In a snap.
He actually did.
In a snap.
Mm-hmm.
In me. Thank God.
Yeah, because, you know, what was crazy about, like, that second guy. That second guy, I really felt like I was, like, this mature person. So I didn't feel like I was, like, a kid. Even so, like, in hindsight, I still was a kid. But in my head back then, I wasn't a kid. So I felt like I was, like, this mature, very, you know, like, I was a condoning. That doesn't sound like the right word. A consenting adult. That's what I felt like. But but then that relationship became a really abusive relationship in a different way, like became like
how
physically
long?
Abusive relationship.
But how long after that you ran away with him? And let's just tell the listeners again, you were only 14 and he was how old? Did you say 41?
41. Yeah, he was 41 and I was 14.
Was your mother just going out of her mind, begging you to go? Poor thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
the police are looking for us. I mean,
freak out.
Yeah, right? I mean, imagine. Mm-hmm. I really feel so bad. You know what sucks, though, is that my mom and I used to be really close when I was little. We were really close. It was just me and her always, you know? And then mm-hmm. this happens with the one man, her friend's husband, when I was 11. our relationship suffered so much because of this person, because this person who fucked with me, who's like, life just goes on like nothing probably happened. And meanwhile, like, yes, he like left all this like devastation in his wake, you know, and didn't even ever like look back to like notice it or to give a shit. That's what that
post is
about.
But this
is
why people don't tell, Christy. What are you going to say when a young girl comes to you as a counselor? I mean, and she doesn't want to tell because, I mean, in your instance, it hurt your mom, your relationship with your mother. And that's why you maybe, do you regret ever telling? I mean, nothing ever happened to the guy. Do you regret telling her and going through all that court and all that? Do you regret it? Because, I mean, now it's going to be different if somebody tells. I think it's going to be different. No?
I don't regret it because I honestly don't think I would be alive had I not told her and had I not been forced to get the help that I got. I mean, literally, like, there's no way I would still be here. I mean, I'm barely, I don't know how I made it this far anyways. But,
well, thank God.
But no, I don't.
Hugh Hefner made you a Playboy playmate. That took you into a whole nother realm right there, okay?
You know,
got chills all over my body. What?
You know what, though? I wonder, like, and I've always wondered this, because granted, like, it's not, I don't know, how normal is it to, like, go and take your clothes off for, like, pictures? I don't know if that's normal. It was for us.
Very abnormal.
We were totally,
but that would
and we
to
were
be,
comfortable
like,
with it.
Up your alley,
but
abnormal.
My question,
right.
But my question is, like, if we were fully healthy, is that a road that we would have taken? I mean, maybe we
probably
would have.
Not.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I
you're
mean,
right.
I,
good point.
I don't know a whole lot of us that haven't been assaulted in some sort of sexual way. And I know that when I got to Playboy, I was so used to being a sex object. I mean, I was one since I was 11. I totally, like, I got that role, you know? So to be a playmate was just, like, the pinnacle of being that sex object. But,
yep.
Like, we were, like, in this hugely objectified world, which had its own, you know, things. Like, I'm sure you experienced this, too. Like, I was on jobs occasionally. And, like, one time we were in Atlantic City, and we were at some party for these high rollers. I don't even know why we were there, what our purpose was. But one of the guys was just really touchy and like, and we kept on saying like that, you know, telling him to back off. And his response was like, I paid for you guys. Like,
oh,
like
wow.
If you were prostitutes.
I have a
which obviously
we weren't,
but yeah.
But
my question is, do you both feel like you've beaten it or do you feel like you're still fighting it?
Oh, I beat it for sure. Wait, what are you talking about?
Well, I mean,
yeah,
is it something that you feel like you never really get over, or is it something that you...
I didn't think I was going to tell my story. Okay, I'm talking over you, but I have to say something. Just, that's interesting. I haven't told my story, so it's like, gotten over what? I mean, Barbara didn't tell her story. Okay, so we're focusing on Christy. And by the way, everybody, I didn't know I was telling any story of my own today, so no problem. We have time to hear Christy's, and that's it. And that's what I want to do. So she's gotten over it, and that's wonderful. And so Christy, go on and tell us how you've gotten over it. I think also by what you're studying it now, how to be a counselor, I would imagine you're learning a lot more about what happened to you, why, and why you reacted that way. Am I correct in saying that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So it's interesting to see things like, things like symptoms of, like, child molestation and, like, things to look out for in girls or boys, like, when they go through something like that, like, all of a sudden them not wanting to be touched or, like, all of a sudden they become really promiscuous or, like, things like that. And I remember, like, thinking back, like, how I went through all of these stages. But nobody knew that's what, you know, that's what it was linked to. But yeah, it's really interesting studying it now.
Yes.
And,
you become,
and thinking back.
Like,
yeah.
I would say you become really withdrawn, and you become, if you're really, really little, you could be misconstrued as a complete brat. because you won't talk and your arms are folded and you're scowling and you're frowning and you're not cheerful and, you know, things like that. And you have outbursts. Well, hello, that is a huge, huge symptom right there somebody could look out for, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, but I mean, there's lots of, but there could be lots of reasons why kids are, you know, scowly. And I mean, there's not like one thing that you can point out and say like that is a definite telltale sign, you know. But
no,
it's just kind
but
of like a lot of things kind of strung together. I'm sorry.
But do you say if you see any kind of symptom at all, say in your first meeting with the child, would that be something that you come right out and ask?
I don't know if I would come right out and ask them, because I think they would instantly sort of get put off and that might keep them from talking to me. So I would sort of like ease them into and get them comfortable and build a rapport talking to them, you know, so that they're really comfortable opening up to me. And then hopefully they would, you know, we would work up to that. But I definitely wouldn't just ask them straight out, because I don't think any kid would be honest with me right away,
right.
You know.
Okay.
But it is,
but
good
as a parent,
like, think of
don't you think you should? As a parent, don't you think you should ask from time to time your child if anybody's touching them and explain what's inappropriate and appropriate touching, which is basically no touching, don't go to the bathroom at their house, things like that. They're really little.
I mean,
little,
sure,
so probably,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But my okay. mom told me all that. I mean, my mom told me all that. I mean, I was warned, you know, since I was little, you know, if anybody touches you, come tell me. If anybody, you know, like, but when it's somebody, when it's like part of your family, or when it's somebody that you've known your whole life, like, it, all the rules kind of go out the window, you know, like, because when mm-hmm. your parents are telling you that, you're assuming, like, when some stranger comes and, like, touches your privates, you know, be sure and tell me, like, okay, we can do that.
Right.
But, like, it's your uncle, it's your father, it's your brother. I mean, then what, you know? So, I mean, there's just so many variables to it. Like, of course, parents should talk to their kids about that. Absolutely. But they shouldn't expect that's going to do it, you know? Because certainly in my case, it didn't do it. And, you know, I definitely did not feel comfortable to talk about it with anybody. Except for Rachel.
Yeah, there's so many out there just like you. So,
of course.
Wow, you have come so far, though. And I don't want to point out, oh, Hugh Hefner's the hero here. No. But that was ageist, though, to, you know, have what it took. And, but you never
yeah.
thought you did, though, which is the funniest thing in the world. And you were, I think you just went there thinking, it's kind of was it a dare or a fluke that you went to try out for Playboy?
No. Remember, my 41-year-old boyfriend used to get Playboy magazine every month, and he used to open it to the centerfold. And he would
right.
go, and
You'll
he would tell me,
that.
This is a real, yeah, this is a real woman. You'll never be a real woman. So,
and, but you
yeah,
kind
so
of thought you weren't going
advice.
To be able to. Make it. You just
well, no.
said, well,
of course
I'll
not.
Try, and then you made it.
Yeah, I know. That was really shocking to me because up until that point, I mean, like, I had never modeled. I had never, I mean, I didn't even know that was a possibility, you know? I mean, I think I knew that I was a pretty girl, but I think I only based that on, like, how much attention I got from men, you know? And I knew I got a lot of attention
yeah.
from men. So that
wow,
the only,
really?
That's the only thing that told me that I was pretty.
Maybe
yeah,
because your best friend was the high fashion model, and you thought, okay, that's the pretty one. That's the beautiful thing that you know is extra special, right?
No,
there,
I think that
friend.
She. No, I think she felt the same way. I mean, I just don't think that we just didn't know, you know, we didn't know until we got into the world of her modeling and me into Playboy, you know, we didn't know that what everyone's ideal of beauty is, you know, it's certainly subjective to begin with. And, you know, in high school or in school in general, like I wasn't considered like super pretty, you know,
Well, we are kind of more awkward looking, but if you look closely at yourself, I mean, you're kind of like, you know, after this baby, these baby fat cheeks, I think I might be okay. You know?
Yeah.
And I
kind of
have
that.
Long fingers and long legs. Once the hips come, you know, I might actually be really great. You know? I don't know. I think
okay.
We saw it in ourselves a little bit. You can see
yeah.
it a little bit in yourself, you know.
I want to know what happened
story.
With you.
Oh. Okay. Here, for many, many years, I didn't ever think I was sexually abused because I later on, it took 40 years for me to tell my mother, my stepfather tried to sexually abuse me. Well, trying isn't that doing?
Yes.
He didn't
absolutely.
Sit there and say, I want to sexually abuse you, you know, verbally. I mean, there was something
no,
that happened.
Of course. No, he was inappropriate.
Right?
Of course.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that doesn't. Fuck Joe. Oh, sorry. That really screws with your mind.
Okay.
No doubt.
We're over 18 here on this show. We have it set for that, so it's fine. You can swear.
Oh.
It comes out, no big deal.
Excellent. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. But yes, I didn't even realize it. And I came to my own conclusion. I thought, you know what? That was sexual abuse. When a person goes and tucks you in, you're 8 years old, and you're I don't want to say, oh, my mother let him. Okay, well, we just don't expect the brand new husband to go in and tuck in the 8-year-old child and put his whole entire mouth over her mouth, open on her face all over. And I talk about not knowing what the hell's going on.
I mean, totally.
I never even knew what French kissing was. I'm like, I was appalled. Like, I was just frozen. I was just like, gross. I'm like, what? And so I just coiled up. And then, oh, the massage is on
yep.
the back. And then why are the hands going down in my crack, you know? And
yeah.
So, yeah. And so then after that, I just went completely, like, coiled up. Like, I was, you know, talking about myself basically earlier. I became closed in, arms crossed. You know, oh, what's wrong with her? Why is she? Oh, no kids ever like their stepfathers. But so when I wouldn't allow him to touch me anymore and I would coil up into a ball and say, no, don't come in. He knew he wasn't going to get his hands on me. So he started hitting us with a stick for 8 years and slapping us across the face, back and forth, backhands, and just really like, scary. I mean, we were
yeah,
right
no doubt.
8 years, total. And wow. Baptist, we had to go to church so much, and you know that was fine. But going to church, but then you can't listen to music. You can't, like we were saying,
mm-hmm.
you can't do anything secular at all, and you can't
right.
even watch shows because oh, well, what's wrong? If you even ask what's wrong with Three's Company, you're gonna get a slap in the face. So you never even know why. And but
yeah.
then you go over to your dad's, and my brother and I were like, okay, this time we're going to tell dad he's hitting us. And the stick was conveniently put up. It was our stick for beating. It was put on top of the refrigerator. My mother knew about this stick. The stick was used in front of my mother. The stick was there. You want the stick? So my abuse was more like a physical, but also very much, very scary to go home.
Sure. Oh my God, of course. An
yeah.
8-year-old little girl. I mean, that's a little kid. Of course. That's terrifying.
And
I mean, that's
eight,
terrifying.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. That's 8 years of that hell. So if anybody, so my problem when I got out of the house, I was more of the abusive person on the boyfriend. To where if you want to tell me what to do, you're going to tell me what to do. I'll just throw this Christmas tree off the balcony with all yours on. Oh, you want to tell me what to do? I'm just going to like take all these pots and pans and throw them on the floor. Oh, you want to tell me? I'll just rip off these level or blinds off your window. I'll just smash your window in. You know, that's what happened to me.
But it, But of course, like, that's what you knew. That's what you were taught. That's how you grew up. I mean, that's like classic. I mean, of course you did those things, you know, because violence begets violence. I mean,
yeah.
it's lucky that didn't repeat themselves with you and your daughter, you know, really, like that's what you grew up knowing. And so, you know, I mean, that's why a lot of people just continue this cycle of abusing and abusing. If you look at like most people that are violent, they've been abused. I'm sure your stepfather was probably abused. That's not saying it's okay what he did by any means. But but I can see why you acted like that way with your boyfriends, you know. It makes perfect sense.
Yes. But thank goodness that I was able to calm that down. But that was just, I look back now, and like you, during all these years, I know, you're kind of like wondering, and then things click, and then wondering why, and then it clicks. Oh, that's why I'm like that. And my brother and I still to this day say, because he raised a stepchild, he goes, oh my gosh, he's a pilot. He did college courses in high school. My brother's like, as long as I do everything opposite that Les did, I will be fine. And I go, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I do everything opposite.
Yeah.
And I'm so nice. I don't have enough rules. Like, I then realized, like, oh, maybe I should have been more strict, but I went completely opposite of strict. You can, you know, no rules. Hey, no, leave your shoes on. Leave your shoes on in the house. So, you know, all of that. But then now she's 13, and I'm wondering why she's not doing her one chore a day and loading the dishwasher. But, hey, you know, I'd rather have her happy, like, in a messy house than, you know, abused by a Hitler that I became because of him. But he's dead. See, I never would have been able to do Playboy if he was alive, because I would know that he would be renewed, and I would never, ever let that happen. So thank God he was dead from a brain tumor, which I think I actually did cause because of staring at him with my razor beam eyes at the back of his head and that. And then that station wagon, I swear, with me, like, die. And he got a brain tumor right where I stared at for all those years. He got a brain tumor right there, and he died from it.
You are powerful, my friend. Very powerful.
Yeah.
Did your mom, have you ever talked about it with your mom?
That's why I kept saying 40 years even it takes, because when I was 40, I remember I had an interview. I was 40, and it was a phone interview about like Playboy stuff and my career and all that. And it got a little bit into the childhood thing, but I didn't say anything. Right after the interview, I hung up and I started bawling, just like letting it all out, just like bawling. And I said, I'm going to call my mom right now. And I did. It took 40 years to tell her. But she knew about the hitting, but not so much because he would do it a lot when she wasn't around or when she was in the shower. But when he tried to, when he molested me, when he molested me and put his mouth over me and tried to put his hands down my pants many times.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
I told her that. But then she cried on the phone, and it was a crying thing. And we've had another crying thing about the hitting too together, and, you know, held on. But why then, a year later at Thanksgiving, she mentions how she was a widow and she died and she went through so much and she lost less. And then my brother gets up and runs into the room and slams the door because he, you know, why are you then? We told you what this guy did and how it's affected us. And now you're glorifying him on Thanksgiving at our dinner table. Like,
right. That's so really insensitive. Really insensitive.
Like denial. Okay. You said it happened.
Well,
okay, I'll cry with you, but I'll deny it tomorrow, and I'll deny it because I don't remember. I don't remember. That's a big thing.
Because you know what? Because you know what? Because I think that a part of her will have to admit that she failed in some way. You know, as a mother, she failed to protect you. She failed to protect both of you, you know, and this happened in her house with a man that she chose. So I think that possibly it could be so painful for her to face that. To face that, because that's what she's facing when she looks at it, you know.
A lot of pain.
She's not seeing
a
it from your perspective. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's why people, when I have told close friends, they start hating my mom. And I said, please do not do that, because I've forgiven my mother. We don't know what she went through. She was a very young mom, divorcee, working with two kids. This man came and swept her off her feet. She didn't know he was going to do that. And what was he saying to her behind closed doors? Yeah, we never saw him physically abuse her, but he must have been controlling her as well. So
I'm sure. Yeah.
And I feel bad, but you know, I know she doesn't listen to the show, so whatever. She'll not even hear it.
My mom and I can't talk about what happened when I was a kid at all, like not whatsoever. I mean, if we even tiptoe in that pool, like a tidal wave comes and like knocks both of us out, like we cannot go there at all. Anytime that we have, it's been just disastrous.
Because from her?
No, I don't. I think I used to, but I don't. I definitely don't anymore. And I think that I mean, just recently I sort of came to the understanding of what she must feel about that whole time and the guilt that she's probably taken on from that whole time. And I never really thought about that before. But once I did, I realized, it wasn't her fault at all. She has no guilt to bear, really. You know, your mom, on the other hand, like, I can definitely see how she could, you know, she could feel guilty. You know, my mom didn't know, and this wasn't a man that she brought into my life, per se.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so maybe that's why she gets all so upset when you bring it up, because she doesn't want to feel like you're pointing the finger at her, but you're probably not.
I'm actually not, but I think that she just naturally, because she's my mom, because it's her job to protect me, because I'm her kid, you know, I'm sure that she takes on that guilt. So once I kind of realized that, then I don't need her to see my perspective. I don't need her to see where I'm coming from anymore. That's how it was.
But are you comfortably close with her to where, you know, you see her and it's just, okay, there's my mom, but it's not as deep as you would like?
Well, you know, we were always like that. We were always had a really tumultuous relationship. But since I got sober and since this pandemic, actually, I moved in with her because, it was lockdown I just came here to sort of be safe. And since I have, it's been such a gift. Like, we are closer than ever. We actually have like a great relationship now. She helps me with my cards. I mean, it's really like, it's blossomed into this like relationship that like I love. I mean, I think about like the possibility of ever losing my mom, and it just kills me. Like, I can't imagine like losing my mom. And before, like, I mean, really, we really did not like each other at all. But now, like, I really love my mom and I respect her, and like, we're closer than ever. So this pandemic has brought like many gifts, really.
Oh, good. Because I thought that you were saying it was still like that. I thought you were saying that your mom and you were still kind of like not so close, but it affected it for a while. But now you're...
Yeah,
you're
it right affected it forever. I mean, for 48 years, it affected it, you know.
Wow. And it was a pandemic, really. Moving back in with her.
Yes. Yes.
And getting sober, moving back with... Wow.
Mm-hmm.
This is... Yeah. I didn't know that was the end of the story. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
That's been a really good thing.
That is a blessing.
Definitely. Yeah, I know. I feel like so bad when I, obviously, with what's going on in the world and what's going on with this pandemic and death and destruction everywhere. And certainly that, like, I feel terrible about that. But for me personally, there's been many gifts in having to be locked down with my mother and being in this confined space and doing something that we both love together. Like both of us, you know, she helps me with my cards and, you know, I become so obsessed with my cards. Yeah.
Hold on, because I wanted to totally do a major shout out about your cards, your greeting cards, by the way. But I wanted to know one last thing. If you want to tell, what is this man's name that did this to you and your best friend?
His name was Galvin.
Okay, but does that have to do with anything with the Ford Motor dealership?
No.
Okay. Well, because there's Galvin Ford. I'm going to ruin his business.
Oh my god.
Or no, it's Galvin.
Hilarious.
Galvin.
Yeah, it's
Galvin. But
that's
Galvin
so funny.
Is a very odd name, and that is his first name. Wow.
That is. Yeah.
Okay, everybody out there. You know, Galvin, he's a pig.
He's
does.
A pig.
Yep. Watch out.
He does.
It's Galvin. He's around your kid.
Yeah, seriously, keep your kids away from him because he's a pedophile.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what do you want to do with him now? Anything? I mean, what, is there a statute of limitation? I don't know.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah, the statute of limitations back then was, I think it was like 12 years or something. It was, or maybe it was only 7 years. I don't know. It was pretty short. But, yeah, I'm not a person who regrets things in my life, you know, and I think that like everything that's ever happened in my life has happened for a reason. And I really think like I'm put on this earth to like help people. Like, I feel like that's like my job in life. That's my purpose in life. It's like, I am here. I even lost my best friend so that I could with her together, that I could help be an example of like what can happen when you come from a certain place, you know, when you come from a place of like being abused or being whatever you've gone through when you were a kid, you know, whatever hurt you, whatever trauma you suffered when you were a kid, me and Rachel can serve as like these examples of two different roads you can take. And hers is like the very worst possible thing that can happen. Like, you mess with a young girl, and this is the worst possible scenario that can happen. Like, this young girl grabs a gun one day and blows her brains out. That's the worst thing that can happen. And
yeah.
If I end up making it, you know, and if I end up helping other kids,
one.
If I end up writing
just
a
one.
Book and, like, helping people, like, then my story will be, like, the other end of the spectrum, and I'll be the other end of, like, what can happen, you know? So, like...
Oh, yeah.
That's what I feel like my purpose is, you know. I feel like my purpose
it
and
is.
My message is like make your life a fairy tale. Like, if you started out like a Cinderella and you experienced a lot of trauma, whatever that trauma is, you know, you can turn it around and you can like make something with your life. You can make anything with your life. So,
and you can
so
mend
I don't regret
relationships. Good.
And yeah.
Mend those relationships, and maybe there's words that have been yelled and things and names were called, and you know, you think, well, I can never take that back. But anything, you can mend a relationship and people can understand. You just have to have really good
Absolutely.
communication.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? There's power in forgiveness. I mean, there's really
yes.
power in forgiveness, you
oh,
know,
I
like
say something.
It takes
yep. I want to say something to you, Christy, because it does have some proof that you have come a long way. Apparently, I just saw a thing on the internet. It says Christy Tom for President, and it's a T-shirt.
What?
Cute.
Seriously?
That's what it says. Yeah, I mean,
That's the
I don't know if it's
I
like
ever
a
heard.
Just... Honestly, this is what I found. I don't know if it's a. Let me see what it says here. Yeah, that's what it says.
Well. She's going
I've
to
never
be
seen that.
an ambassador for so many people. They're probably thinking, okay, she is a leader. You know, you are a leader. And changing it from the spectrum of being the worst to something the best, you can do that for sure. And
also, you have such a great story as, you know, I don't want to keep saying it, but the Playboy Playmate Playboy brand is huge. So wouldn't somebody be more prone to buy your book and hear your story because you're a celebrity? Yes.
Hopefully.
So all of that. Everything happens for a reason. I truly believe that as well.
It so does. That's why, like, I just can't really think, like, oh, I wish that didn't happen. Or, I mean, of course I miss my best friend. I miss her all the time. But, you know, I believe everything had to happen for the greater good so that we could, you know, help so many other people. You know, it sucks it sucks that I had to lose her. It sucks that she had to go when she was so magnificent and so worthy of so much, you know. And it sucks that, like, nobody ever put their arm around her and, you know, like, led her out of the darkness that she was in. And that probably is my regret, that I couldn't come out for her. But, yeah.
Yes. And, you know, rest in peace, okay? Because Christy Toms still has your back, Rachel, and she is going to change lives. And she's going to do this because of that road that you traveled together. So, you know, find comfort in that, what your best friend is holding that torch for you and doing. And you were talking about forgiveness. And I recently, I just had to ask a lot of people, what is it about forgiving? Okay, we have to forgive the people who have done the worst things to us. I mean, I started researching it, Christy. And I even asked my best friend Jennifer, you know, what is it? Because she's in the healthcare business dealing with, you know, autistic children. She just got that position in New York City. So she would know a good answer. Well, I started watching and watching and watching. It gives you the freedom to let go. Can you, you would more perfectly explain it. Please explain forgiveness and why it is so important and what is real forgiveness, because we just had a show on this. Remember, Johnny, we just had a show and the grief coach came on because I lost an ex-fiance.
Yeah.
And even though it didn't work out 3 years ago, we were going to be married. He died of COVID recently. Well, I knew him for 18 years. I highly respected this individual, even though we didn't get married. Yes. And I was going through all kinds of confusing grief.
Of course.
Because you break up and you're mad, but then you get,
but
have
it was somebody
meeting
you loved.
And you, yes. But we had that meeting after a couple of years of the breakup. Then we had a meeting of laughing about everything. And, you know, the time had healed and we forgave each other. And I was thinking, if I wouldn't have forgiven him, and I would have heard he passed away, I would have had regrets. And that's when I started to research forgiveness. And then I knew the true meaning. But I want you to tell the listeners, what is forgiveness and why? And how does this help?
Well, I think that when you hold stuff inside, when you carry anger with you in any direction, it's like a cancer. It just eats at you slowly. It takes part of your soul. It takes part of your joy. It takes what your essence away from you, this anger, this madness, this, you know, anger's an ugly thing. Even when you have perfectly valid reasons to be angry, you know, you just, that person that you're angry with just carries, like, occupy space in your body and in your mind, eating away at you. And
but how
can
truly
you just
forgive them? How in your heart can you say, okay, I forgive you, but you don't really feel it, but you're going through the motions. How do you really feel forgiveness in your heart? How do you dig deep and get that out?
I think that you do it in many ways. I mean, I think you can meditate on it. I think that you can say it 100 times a day if you need to. I think that you can, like, you know, have you ever heard the term fake it till you make it? I think that that's what you kind of have to do with forgiveness. You might not feel it at first, but pray about it. Talk to whoever it is that you believe in, up there, down there, whatever you believe in. Pray about it. Talk to them about it. Talk to your loved ones that have passed about it. Talk to anybody existential, talk to them about it. And the more you talk about it, the more you'll feel the forgiveness, and the better you'll feel, and the happier you'll feel, and you'll feel joy again, and life will get better.
Yeah. Okay,
that's what I think.
That was,
I mean, I don't fully know, yeah. But that's my idea, anyways.
No, that was wonderful, and no, because I was wondering how you forgive somebody that you really feel like you hate, and that is how you do it. You have to. It's a hard road, but you have to say it every single day.
Yeah.
So you can be free from that and help other people.
Yeah. Yeah, and don't let them occupy space in your body and your mind. Like, free up your mind so you can do wonderful things or do nothing or do whatever you want. But it's what you want.
Instead
get
of,
that freedom back, for sure.
Of, like, instead of, it's not revenge, but... I mean, shouldn't we still make these people pay for what they get, you know, something
sure.
to say, hey,
sure,
you
but,
did this, you need to pay?
You know what, sometimes you don't. I mean, so, you know, like, I don't know. I think that that's up to everyone individually. You know, like, I also believe in karma, so I kind of believe that people will get theirs, you know. People...
Yeah.
You know, I kind of feel like what comes around will go around.
You know,
around.
I often wonder. Yes, I often do wonder if he did not die. Oh, my gosh, that would have really ruined my relationship with my mother because I certainly was not going back for visits to my mom. Maybe he wouldn't let her visit me motherless, really. God, I felt at the time, yes, I felt like God took him away. What a blessing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Yes. Definitely.
But I am sorry to say, though, I don't think that my brother can get there. I feel like, you know, he's still very damaged. I mean, when you're a boy, and I didn't try it. I told you I coiled up and into a ball and was never taught. I only did what they said. He said I had to say hi less and bye less. And that's all I said to him for 8 years in a home. That's it. Did not talk to him. But my brother, who was only a year and a half older than me, 1 year in school, my brother tried to talk to him about sports and something fun, and he was always berated down, beaten down. For me to watch that was more painful. I would have taken every single beating. I would have taken every humiliating time if my brother didn't have to take it.
I'm sure he felt the same about you, too. And I'm sure that that's probably... He really should get therapy. I mean, really, it would help him so much.
I know.
Will he not? Does he not believe?
He did. He did. But then his therapist
didn't help.
Passed away.
Oh no. Oh
he
gosh,
loved
that's
him.
That's
him.
Heartbreaking.
Mhm.
Oh no. So he's kind of gun shy, huh? About finding another one?
Downhill after that. Oh, everything. Johnny, will you take over for a minute?
Okay. I'm sorry.
Barbara, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Well, you know, it's great that we're letting all this out. I mean, You actually said that, Christy, that you haven't had a chance to really talk about this in a public setting like this.
I just never have. It's never really come up. I mean, it's certainly not a subject that just, you know, organically comes up, and I haven't really brought it up.
I think that I was thinking about this yesterday because, you know, when you're looking for guests, for a show, for a podcast. And, you know, usually what you do is that it's a lot easier to call someone up and say, we're going to have a show where we talk about politics, or we're going to have a show where we talk about sports, or we're going to have a show where we're going to talk about relationships. But it's usually pretty hard to call up somebody and then say, were you abused as a child? You know,
right.
Because that's a very hard subject.
Sure.
Even though you're open to it, you can't just say this. Like, I was thinking, we've had our Playmates series, and you know, we've had Playmates on all the time, but it's like, I have a really hard time. You know, I don't think I could do that. Even the ones that I've become good friends with, I don't think I could, you know, call them up and say, would you like to come on the show and talk about, have you been abused, by the way? Were you abused as a kid? Were you sexually, you know?
Well, you
know,
can't
you
do that. You definitely can't do that.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you can't
back.
Do that.
Thank you.
Things have to be organic, you know. Like, I agreed to talk to you guys because Barbara said she saw my post. And I had a great, I was really surprised. After I wrote that post, I don't even think I knew what I wrote. I knew I ranted about something, but I just pushed send and then I just left it. And then I got so much response, like people reaching out to me, telling me like about like their situation and like them like losing people to suicide. And it was a lot of people, like a lot of victims of suffering through suicides. And so I just thought that was such a good thing. So yeah, I was definitely open to talking about it after I got such a wonderful response.
Oh, good. It really was. And when I saw that, I thought, we need to forward that on Life Laughter Happiness. And we need to da 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 da. And you know what? We do shows every single day, and I couldn't keep up with it. But just me saying, hey, get Christy Tom on. She's ready to talk about abuse. Get her. And Johnny does. And you know, because I'm a single mom here, I am doing so much. I had a very hard day. I knew if I didn't make that deadline by 4 o'clock today to get my daughter into Huntington Beach High, which is not where she's supposed to really go, but she wants to go there because she made some friends. She had to move to a new school. And, you know, if I didn't get there and get that done, I knew she was going to hate me. Oh, she was going to hate me. I was going to be the worst mother on the planet Earth. I was so stressed out with that today, and I did it, though. I accomplished it. I did it. And then right
night,
it was like I had to, you know, then, you know, reevaluate myself and take some deep breaths because I already was crying today. And, you know, we do, as single moms, do everything.
Of
basically.
Course. I'm sure.
So
you guys are wonder women.
Mom.
I mean, seriously, you guys are freaking super women. I feel for single moms. I have a thing for single moms because, I mean, God bless you. God help
Thank
you,
you,
but God bless you.
And there's no
question.
Dad ever. I mean, he died when she was 2 in a car crash, so it's not like I have any every other weekend or, you know, every other week. It's like 100%, like you and your mom, 100%. And, you know, it can be tumultuous. Definitely.
Yeah. Sure.
I have a question for Barbara, but you're more than welcome to jump in, Christy. You know, you mentioned we have had on the show, to explain to Christy, we've had a theta healer on the show.
And
if you're not familiar with what that is, theta healing is a form of therapy. And I don't know. I mean, you said that you wanted the theta healer back on. Was your reasons for, we don't have to talk about this on the air if you don't want to. I mean,
No, Johnny. Okay, so my original show was going to be one of my favorite healers, and I wanted her to be on with us today, and we couldn't get her on, I guess. So it's fine. So we did it just fine with just us, but we have all kinds of wonderful people. This grief coach that came on for the first time helped me with, you know, understanding my grief with Ron and why other people didn't know why.
Right.
Okay, Christy's like, oh, why are you mad? That's your ex-fiance. You know, it's like I got a lot of that, so I felt alone. You know, I felt
I guess
really
what
alone.
I was going to ask is,
I
what
bet.
I was going to ask
I can
is,
imagine,
is,
Barbara.
did what we were talking about today have to do with what you wanted to see healing for? And if so, do you think Christy would benefit from it?
I would say
yes.
No, I think it would be a fun conversation, you know. I mean, it's not like she's going to try to heal you. It's just like talking about, you know, now we're on to the third thing. Let's help other people. It's not about us anymore. You know, we're working on ourselves. I think it'd be a fun conversation. She's in the education. She's going to college, Christy, for being a counselor. It's just an interesting kind of conversation. So,
I will call the Theta healer and I will maybe do it for the both of you. Maybe I will do it for the both of you. I didn't know if this was better of like a private subject to be said on the off the air, but I was just thinking, I mean, if you're okay with it, I would like to have, I mean, what she does is she helps people get over things like fears, traumatic experiences.
Yeah.
Somebody has a hard time feeling emotions. Is that
hold on,
something that
Johnny,
she might...
Johnny, hold on. Let me just interject something on top of that one.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry,
it's so funny, Christy, because this Theta healer, I think if it's the same one Johnny is talking about, I had a phobia about
the same one.
Vending machines. Okay. I had a vending machine phobia. I never, it's so weird. And I went with, yes, I wouldn't do it because when I was little, I was like so shy. I'd go up and then if I couldn't figure it out or read it fast enough or push the right button or the money wouldn't work, I would, you know, everybody's staring at me all the time. So I would just avoid it.
Okay.
Like, and I was talking about that once with Echo Johnson. She's like, oh, my God, I couldn't do it either. Oh, my God, Barbara, I couldn't do the vending machines either. Everybody was staring at me. And I'm like, oh, my, this is a thing. This is a thing that we develop from whatever, who we are, children. Yeah.
From adverse childhood.
Like that
sure.
You could probably dig up one of those things that you have that maybe you think that's weird that I do that, but and then she dissects it and she finds out why, and it's really interesting. So I love that stuff. We don't have to get deep into our, you know, abuse and stuff,
right.
Stuff like that we go into, and you could think about one, and she comes in and, you know, talks about. And, you know, it cured me. I can go up to any vending machine now.
Nice. That's impressive.
Yeah. And my daughter, when I realized that my daughter, she would just go up to vending machines all the time. I'd give her some change. And I'm like, you really just did that? There's so many people around. You really? You went up to, you used a vending machine? Oh. She's like, what is that, mother? That's like, I cannot use one. And
that's
so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could do a lighter show.
Yeah, that's lighter. Fun.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that
all
sounds
right.
Like fun.
Okay. Now, I wanted to say we have up to an hour and a half, and so we have about 8 minutes, and I want to dedicate that time to talk about 17 chickens. And, oh, my goodness, everybody out there, Christy Tom is one of the best artists around, and she used to do huge paintings, huge murals, but then COVID happened, and she had to do something smaller, and she opened a greeting card company called 17 Chickens. It's on Etsy, and it was amazing, the things you did for Christmas, and I ordered one, but then my credit card got, some kind of alert, like fraud, and I had to change the credit card. So I never actually, it didn't change it with my order with you. But I tried
to order.
Oh my gosh, did you see the one I tried to order? It was
no.
An image with, and it had no, there was no arms. There was no arms. It was
no
an
arms.
Image that you did for Christmas. Yeah, it was like, you know, a caricature. And it was a
Emmett, I'll find it and send it to you. But it had a deep meaning to me. And it actually, when I saw it, I got tears welled up in my eyes. I'll send you this image. And it was a card. I was going to buy it and frame it. I wasn't going to give it to anybody. And just tell us about your cards and what inspires you to do it and all about where we can find them.
Joy, pure joy inspires me to do it. I get so much joy out of making these little cards. And then, like, I send them to my customers who buy them, and then they get joy. And then they send them to their friends and family, and they get joy. So, like, literally joy is the whole reason behind this whole card-making thing. So it's just so fun, and it's like, really... It's so fun. It's like this, I mean, I'm obsessed with it. I make cards literally from like the second I wake up to the second I go to sleep. And it's certainly not about money, because you probably make like 20 cents an hour, maybe. But it's just so
because
much fun.
Because each one is
I feel like I'm
done. Right?
Yeah.
That you buy is hand done.
Yeah, I don't draw. I use stamps and stencils, and I mean, I use a ton of different things. But yeah, every single one of them is handmade, and they take hours, you know. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So it's just a labor of love. But yeah, I just hit 400 sales today on my Etsy store, so that was really cool.
Awesome!
So,
awesome!
A milestone.
So everybody,
yeah.
Full. Name where, you know, the URL, I mean, so everybody can find them.
It's 17 chickens. It's 17 and then chickens .etsy.com. So 17chickens.etsy.com.
Okay,
and
awesome.
You can
We're
going
to post
check
that
them
again.
All out. Cool.
I can't wait to show you that one that brought tears to my eyes, and maybe you can figure out why, but it was touching. And there's probably a lot of thought and emotion going on in your artwork, right?
I get so much like great, amazing feedback from my cards. It's really wonderful. Like, they kind of take on a little life of their own. Once, like, I don't even feel like I make them. I feel like they're just made. They go out into the world and they do their thing, and they like create joy wherever they go. It's really cool.
They have a life of their own.
They do. They kind of do.
I love it. And Christmas time must have been really fun for you with doing that. And with your mom, too. It brought you guys close together.
Yeah, we did. Wow. It was great. It was great. She was really helpful. And, yeah, it was awesome. Life is really good now. I mean, life is really special now. So it's a fabulous time of growth and just, God, being awake and alive again. So I'm really happy now.
Wow. That is wonderful. Well, you certainly are an inspiration to many. And this is going right on our YouTube, Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube, and also my own YouTube, too, because I feel like if somebody's looking for me, I want them to find Life, Laughter, Happiness podcast, especially, you know, my good friends and what they're doing. And you know what? It goes to show you, Johnny is so wonderful, because he said, you bring your friends on, and a lot of your friends are going to be Playboy Playmates. And I do still believe that there are people out there that think that we have no problems, and that our life, we're pretty, you know, we're just the pretty ones that don't have any problems, you know.
Yep, that's
no.
us.
Yeah. No, we're human beings too, okay? And we have stories that are quite interesting and maybe could change other people as well, which you are doing. So thank you for everything you've done. And thank you for opening up so much tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, you guys. It was nice talking to you. I love you, Barbara.
I love you too, Christy, so much. So Christy Tom with her Etsy collection, 17 chickens. You can find it if you type in 17chickens.com and go start ordering. Put her to work harder, everybody.
Yes, please put me to work.
It's not work.
Yeah, exactly.
bring me some joy.
It is passion.
Just
so
kidding.
Yes, and I'm going to post that on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter so people can give a direct link to your Etsy. And yeah, so this has been
awesome,
emotional, but yet fun. And
awesome.
I'm not going to say sorry for crying. I'm not going to say sorry for choking up and crying because I'm human.
Good, don't.
And
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Co-host /
thank you guys
today.
For having me.
Thank you. Thank you, Johnny, so much, too.
Do you
for
want to
producing
do
the
show.
Well, I
thank
just
you guys.
Did. I just did it. Okay.
Right.
Thank you, Christy,
thank you.
Tom.
Thank
you, Christy.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Barbara.
I will talk to you guys soon. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Talk to you
bye.
Soon.
Hey, it's Mary Booth. Don't let layovers and delays spoil your trip. You deserve hassle-free travel with Avelo, Mobile's newest airline. Avelo flies nonstop to Orlando on Thursdays and Sundays from Mobile International Airport at the downtown terminal off I-10. And it's super affordable, with fares starting at just $29. Book early for best price at AveloAir.com and post about your trip, not your layover, with Avelo.
The new year is a great time to get your healthcare routine on track. Hey, from Shelby Mitchell and Infirmary Health, the Gulf Coast's first choice in healthcare, provides patients with award-winning services in a lot of different specialties. Mobile Infirmary and Thomas Hospital recently earned awards from U.S. News and from the American Heart Association in fields of care such as stroke, heart attack, resuscitation, cancer surgery, and joint replacement. Visit infirmaryhealth.org to find a doctor and schedule a visit today. That's infirmaryhealth.org.